Welcome into episode 62 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We started last week, or we did one last week, on five lessons for the boys. And one of the things we get a lot of the feedback, where's the stuff for the girls, right? Well, we're not really doing a girls podcast, sorry. We're not. Our wives are not yet at that point.
Go but, somewhere else if that's what you're here
that's
for.
Right. Yeah. But we did want to say, there are lessons we want to teach our girls. And so this episode is really going to be around the five lessons, the biggest lessons we want to teach our daughters. As we talked about last time, Will and I each have kids. He's got a boy and a girl. I have three boys and a girl. We may be done at four. And so I got one shot to get this right, which is a little bit daunting. As you think about, you know, passing these lessons down with my daughter, with Eleanor, I want to make sure that, and I don't know how many more God blesses you with, if you end up having a bunch of boys, whatever it is, we take this very, very seriously, and there are different lessons for the boys and for the girls. Some of them are going to overlap in just how we teach them. I don't have any overlap from last week, I don't think. Maybe one that kind of overlaps a little bit. But
I was just going to say real quick, I mean, when you think about what it means to be a godly young man, specifically as a father, you need to know what lessons you want to teach your son and specifically your daughter as well. Like, those are two different things, and so this is not a necessarily we're talking to girls episode. This is very much still a we're talking to men. We're talking to, you know, godly young men who will probably one day be fathers to girls. And so you have to consider what are lessons that they need to learn, because they should be different from the boys. It should not be a, well, you know, it's just all the same thing. You can group them all together. No, we're men for a reason. We're women for a reason. There are differences that we are not, you know, we don't have exactly equal roles, exactly equal traits and all these things. And so there are different things that, and it's good, and that might be the challenge, is that you have to parent Eleanor differently than you do Harrison and Lachlan and Duncan. I've got to parent Brooklyn differently than I parent Jackson, because boys and girls are different. And so that's why we wanted to split these two episodes up of, like, what we want to teach our sons, what we want to teach our daughters. So
this is part of the, and I appreciate you saying that, this is part of the difficulty of being a parent. This is why we take this very, very seriously, and you don't just rush in and have kids and not really think about what you're actually going to do with each, because you do have to parent them differently. Discipline-wise, we're not parent experts, but discipline-wise, I think it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
But the lessons as to what we want them to grow up to be,
what you aim them towards.
Correct. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think in the church, this started to kind of blend together. We want the girls to go to college and be super successful as well, right? Wrong. That's not where Will and I stand. We're going to get into some of that on our top five lessons. And so, yeah, this episode, again, is just for the dads to be, maybe, or the dads that are out there listening. What do you need to teach your daughters? And we, as we talked about last time, let us know in the comments. If there's something you plan to teach your daughters, please let us know. We would love to engage in some of that discussion.
And I'll say again, we have not revealed our list to each other.
Correct.
We are
same
blind,
as last week.
Totally blind here.
That's right. We may have some crossover for that reason, so we're not sure. But let's go ahead and jump in. I think you led last time.
I did, so you're on first.
I'll lead this time. Number five, modesty matters. Nice and simple. Keep it sweet. Modesty matters. Nice and sweet. Keep it simple. Whatever. I just mix those up. But either way, this is something that in this day and age, like, well, once again, kind of a no-brainer. We should know this.
A lot of girls don't.
Yeah. A lot of girls don't. And unfortunately, because my daughter's going to look around and see a bunch of friends, maybe even a church or whatever. Not at our church, thank goodness. But if we were at a bigger church. But if we were at a bigger church, you'd look across the aisle and probably see people that we don't agree with in how they dress. She's going to, why can't I dress like that? She's going to see people on TV and go, why can't I dress like that? We're going to drive by and see billboards or whatever else. And she's going to get all of this subliminal messaging as to that's how we dress. No, that's not. Modesty does matter, because it's about revealing the heart more than anything. People would rather reveal their bodies, which unfortunately does reveal their heart, which is one of they're wanting guys to give them what their dad should be giving them. And so as a father figure, I want her to know modesty matters, and I want her to value and respect herself enough to say, I'm not just going to give this and my body and everything else to just every guy that walks down the street. I want to save this for somebody who's actually going to cherish this. And as the father, I want to make sure that she has a positive sense of self enough to know, I don't need to go chase the eyeballs of every guy walking down the street to know that I have value. Modesty matters for that purpose, because underlying a modest and quiet and you know, a heart that seeks to dress appropriately is somebody who has a good sense of self.
That's fantastic. I think about what we talked about. I think one of your points, Joe, with what we can teach our sons about understanding the why, it's not just about teaching them, you know, or teaching the daughters, hey, what clothes do you wear? What clothes do you not wear? It is about the why. What does that reveal about your heart that you want to show off, you know, as much of yourself as you possibly can, that you want to post pictures of yourself all over social media? And man, is this one ever going to be a tough battle? Because it is so countercultural. It is, I mean, even within the church, you mention the word modesty and people's hair starts to stand up. Like people get so, they start twitching, get so uncomfortable, specifically,
yeah, exactly.
Specifically women, whenever modesty is brought up, because like, man, you can't really say that. And like, and I'm glad you brought this up, because like, yes, we can say this. We can say that modesty matters, and we can say what is and what isn't modest. It does not take, I mean, anybody with a brain can look at a two-piece bathing suit and say, that's not modest. I'm sorry.
That's right.
And so this is not a modesty episode, but you know that we have actually not talked about that yet on the Godly Young Men podcast, because it is primarily a female issue. That's not to say that men can't struggle with modesty, short shorts or whatever, but primarily this is going to be a struggle for girls, like you said, with social media and shows and stuff. So that's really, really good. My number five, top things I want to teach my daughter. The fifth one is interesting. I put, be a true, genuine friend. Reason I put this on there is because I think girl friendships, from my observation, I'm obviously not a female, but from what I have seen from girl friendships is that they have a tendency to be more fake than guy friendships. They have a tendency to be more gossipy than guy friendships. They have a tendency to be just less real, just less genuine. It's more about, you know, what guys are you talking to, or, you know, what fun can we, there's just not a lot of genuineness to it. And so, again, I am kind of going down in order of importance in my brain. And so some of the other things I'm going to bring up, I would say probably a little bit more important, but I desperately do want to teach my daughter, like, be a true, genuine friend to the girls you hang out with. Don't be somebody who's fake. Don't be somebody who's two-faced and talking about other catty. People behind their back. Catty. I thought of that word as well. Like, just the gossip who, you know, you just think about the shows like Mean Girls and all that kind of thing. Like, don't be that type of girl. Be a true, genuine friend to whoever it is that you want to be friends with, because those types of girls are very rare. And we've talked before, like, you know, even our wives have struggled with, like, true, genuine friendships before. And so I want to teach my daughter, you do your part to be a true, genuine friend.
And know that you may get your heart broken by somebody else, and not in a romantic way, but by another female friend who was your best friend until the new kid on the block, you know, so to speak, the shiny new toy. Like, you see that a lot amongst girls. That is a great point. I want my daughter to be the type that's a true friend through and through, and no matter what happens, you're not the one who leaves. Now, if the other person's a bad person, bad seed, that's a different discussion. So many girls are catty. So many girls are again, waiting for that new person to move into school or whatever it is, new girl in you know, the Bible class.
Or start dating a guy, they leave their friend in the dust. Yeah. Like, that's a terrible friend.
Yeah. That's a really needed one. That's a great one. And people watching this are going to be like, well, that's sexist. You know, that's rude. These are just straight facts. I don't think girls make great friends. Guys do.
Sometimes they don't, yeah.
Sports teams, not female sports teams. That's a different sketch for a different day. Sports teams, platoons, things like that. You know, like the force, when you're on the force. Women change that. Guys really do form this friendship, this bond, this connection that... Yep. Women do actually change that when you put them into the army, when you put them into the workforce, things like that, into the force with cops. So again, different discussion. But when you see women, that's why you don't have a ton of like really, really close women packs, so to speak. You see that with guys a lot. You do not see that with women. And when they do, there's infighting. Again, cattiness is the word of the day. But I mean, there is a lot of cattiness. So Great, number five. Yeah. Number four, don't compare yourself to others. This goes along modesty, but do not compare yourself to others. Once again, this is downfall of both guys and girls, but I see this a lot with females where somebody else is wearing more makeup, somebody else is more beautiful, somebody's lost more weight, somebody is, you know, on social media posting about all the things that they have in life or whatever else, and they compare their lives. And again, I'm not saying guys can't do this, but we see this a lot with females because females are the ones posting beauty trends.
A lot of it's about body image and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. And so they compare themselves. Their body image drops through the floor and they go, I'm not as good as so-and-so. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday is what I would say. Are you growing? Are you changing? Are you... Because you can look at it and go, well, that girl's skinnier. There's always a bigger fish, as Qui-Gon would say. There's always somebody...
opposite here. There's always a skinnier fish.
But there's always somebody who's going to be better than you at something, probably. Well, it gives you something to strive for. You can look at it and be jealous and compare yourself to them. Or you look at it and go, yeah, I got things I'm going to work on. But you know what? I am working on it, and I'm better than I was yesterday. I'm controlling my food, or I'm working out, or I'm doing whatever it is. A little bit better than I was yesterday. Okay, okay, well, you're on a really good trajectory. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody else to find value in Christ and to find value, or, you know, self-esteem and value in yourself.
This is a great one. Yeah, I really like that one. I don't have a ton to add, I think.
Sure.
Comparisons, as we talked about before, I think we did that with the guy self-esteem episode. It is more of a problem for girls. Again, body image, who's got more curves, who's, again, better face, blonde hair, whatever. And so, yeah, as for daughters specifically, I really like that one. So my fourth one is tied to this, so I'm going to go ahead and go. My fourth most important lesson I want to teach my daughter, hotness is not your number one commodity. Very much tied to this one, very, you know, sort of similarly tied to the modesty one that Joe had a second ago. But I want my daughter to know that how hot she is not her number one commodity. That is 100% what the world is trying to sell females, is basically like the best you, which is odd in a feminist society where it's all about you can do anything a man can do and you need to chase your career and all these things. They're also trying to sell them on, hey, be as hot as you can be, because that's basically all that matters. And so it's kind of weird. I just kind of put that together of, like, again, Hollywood and music and all the media that we kind of consume pushes girls on hotness is your number one commodity, while still telling them, you know, smartness is, I don't really get it, but I want my daughter to know that's not the most important thing. That is not, and if it is the most important thing to a guy, it's the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And so, again,
that's a great point.
Very countercultural, tied in with modesty, tied in with comparing yourself to others. But I want her to know that there's more worth and value to her than how good she looks, than, you know, how long her hair is, and all these things. And, you know, not that she needs to, you know, look like a homeless person or anything like that, but hotness is not the number one commodity.
Right. I had that thought, actually, the other day. It was very interesting that you bring that up. The Kardashians are kind of the America's model, right, for the girl boss who's making $1 billion, and yet what really are the Kardashians known for?
Hotness, their beauty,
right? Their beauty. And so even in a world where you're pushing the girl boss, you cannot get away from beauty standards. Same thing with Taylor Swift. Oh, what a girl boss. And yet she's a sex symbol. She's somebody that people look to for their hotness. And so all across the board, you see the hotness being the commodity, being the thing that makes you a girl boss, so to speak. People don't talk about, like, and this sounds really mean, but like the super overweight, ugly chick is the girl boss. They want the, it sounds really mean to say, but you know what I mean? Like, they want the hot one. They want the OnlyFans model as the girl boss. There, you have so much more. So yeah, I was listening to podcasts, I was getting my mind on that, but something you said kind of brought that up, of we as a culture cannot get away from the two. Like, we bring those together very much so. So I love that point, because that gets into this next one, which is being submissive is not weak. That's my number three. Being submissive is not weak. And what I have underneath is being a girl boss is a farce. it just is ridiculous. So it goes along with this idea of, look, you have more commodities. Like, hotness is not your number one commodity. Being a girl boss is not a commodity to have, really. Like, I think a girl boss, again, it's kind of an oxymoron. In my opinion, it is, as soon as a guy comes in that wants to defeat you,
he probably will.
And he probably can. And if you have a guy who can't defeat you, probably not much of a guy, right? Probably not much of a man. I'm not saying there aren't tough chicks out there, but this idea of being a girl boss and I'm not going to submit to a man. Look, if a man comes along and wants to make you do it, he will. You better hope that you don't have a man who really has to implement whatever it is to get you to submit. You want to be submissive, because submission is not weak. It's actually a beautiful thing. And my wife had sent me this, and I thought this was interesting. You're either your husband's crown on his head or the rot in his bones. You're either your husband's crown on his head or the rot in his bones.
Did she come up with that?
I don't think so. She said that was a scriptural thing. I don't remember where that would be in scripture, if that is the case. She did send another one, which I think is interesting. Well married, a person has wings. Poorly married, shackles. That's a Henry Ward Beecher quote. What this goes back to is submission is incredibly, incredibly important in a marriage. Somebody will always have to submit. Godly speaking, it ought to be the woman to submit. That does not mean you're weak. It does not mean that you can't be a girl boss. You're not supposed to be a girl boss. You're supposed to be somebody who helps the man in whatever way is necessary. And another thing that is mentioned, something that we were texting back and forth on, women multiply. And this is also not something that's unique to her, but she said women multiply. So if you bring home the bacon, so to speak, we cook it. If you give us a home, or if you give us a house, we'll make it a home. If you give us money, we will then turn around and you know, provide with whatever it may be. If you give us groceries, like, women are intended to multiply whatever the guy brings. If you give us seed, then we'll give you kids. Those type of things, That's the beautiful aspect of life. That's what a submissive woman can bring. She can be the thing that really makes her husband, or she can be the thing that breaks her husband. Why not be the thing that makes her husband and really helps him, Proverbs 31, look really good to those in the streets and helps further his career and everything else? That comes from a submissive woman. It is not weak to do so. As a matter of fact, it is a position of strength and power if you look at it in the fact that together God is making a couple that is stronger than either could be individually. That's a beautiful thing that you have a part to play.
I figured we'd have a lot more overlap here, so I'm going to dovetail this into my number three lesson I want to teach my daughter, is that the value of family is immeasurable. The value of family is immeasurable. There's so much to the girl boss idea that Joe kind of already hit on, and I want my daughter, and in two ways. Let me talk about two ways for just a second. So there's the obvious way that everybody's probably thinking I'm meaning, which is the value of her kids, the time she gets to spend with her kids as a mom, and that's a huge portion. Seeing my wife and the way that she just has you know, really taken to being a mom and just loving every single moment and teaching the kids new things and taking pictures of, you know, just every little thing that is just great about being a mom, spending time with them, you know, talking about, man, she is her kid's person. Like, that's who they want and that's who they want to go to. It's just really cool and it's beautiful. So that's definitely one side of this lesson of the value of your family itself being immeasurable. But the other side is, even when girls are teenagers, what is the world telling them? Your family's lame. Your family's stupid. You know, don't hang out with your parents. Your brother, come on, give me a break. Like, go hang out with your friends. Go to the mall. Like, go do all these things. I want my daughter to know, even when she's in my house, the value of family.
Yep.
And this one can certainly apply to sons as well, because, again, going and hang out with your teenage friends and never giving your parents any time of day is not good. But specifically for girls, again, the temptation can be, I just want to go to the mall and hang out with my friends. I don't want anything to do with my siblings. Don't want anything to do with my parents. I want my daughter to know the value of family, the value of mom and dad who love them, the value of great siblings, the value of family time, the value, because there are so many people out there that don't have solid families. They don't have quality families. And I would like to think we're going to provide our children with a quality family, with a quality home. And so, again, kind of two sides there, that I want my daughter to know that the value of family is immeasurable, both before she leaves my home with us as parents and with her siblings. But then once she enters into a home of her own with her husband, that value that family offers is just immensely valuable.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I would go back to mine of being submissive is not weak.
Yeah, it's tied into that, yeah.
To the father as well, not just, and to your point, you know, like the family, yes, it's to your family, but also the family you have now. I want my daughter to be submissive to me first, and not because I'm some power trip. That's the way God designed it, and it's not weak to be submissive to your father first and then to your husband. It's the same thing of valuing family. You're not going to value your family if you're not valuing your family now. It's not one of those that, like, you're just not going to view the same. Yeah, you can grow and change and come to value them later, I suppose, but at the same time, if you can't seem to value your younger siblings now, if you can't seem to value your parents now, yes, that will absolutely cut into, because you see, poor relationship with the father often equals poor relationship with the husband. Those two things are correlated a lot. Well, what does that tell you? That how you treat your family now will be an indication of how you treat your family later. I think that's a great point. Really good. My number two, I think we're down to number two. Stay-at-home wife is not a position of laziness. Being a stay-at-home wife is not a position of laziness. This is not just about submission. This is, you know, when you are a stay-at-home, because I want my wife to know, and I want her husband, specifically when he comes to court, date.
You want your daughter
to
know.
A daughter, sorry.
Sorry, you said wife, yeah.
Wife, yeah, sorry. I want my daughter to know. You need to marry somebody and be the wife of somebody who is going to allow you to stay home. If that is the case, do not take that to be lazy. I see this a lot with stay-at-home wives. Where
I just get to stay on Facebook all day long.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. And the husband comes home and it's like nothing's done. The laundry's not done. The house is a pigsty. A meal hasn't been cooked. And he comes home and there's nothing sexier than a guy who will get in and do the dishes with his wife. No. He just got off a 10-hour shift. What have you been doing all day? You've been cruising Facebook.
Hey, she finished a Netflix show though.
Yeah, that's right. She blew through a Netflix show eight you know, in a day. No. This is a time to step up. You have the opportunity, and it's not one of those, I don't have to call it out as much as and be a jerk about it as much as calling them up to say, this is a fantastic thing. You have an opportunity to not just make a house, but to make a home, to make this a warm place where you buy into, it's not just chores, oh, I got to do chores today. You get to really be the lifeblood of a home. So when he comes home, it's like, I love being here. I want to be here. And I want to tell my daughter, as my wife does, my wife is so good at this. When I get done with a long day with clients, man, she's been dealing with the kids all day. She has now put dinner on the table. She is amazing in so many ways and helps me in so many ways. She has truly made it a home where it's a joy to be there. It's a joy to get home and to go, man, I love being here. And that's from my wife. That's everything she does, not from anything that I do. Other than I go to work, I provide for her, and then she makes it something that's incredible. You have an opportunity to do that, but not if you're lazy. So I want my daughter to know, do not take that for granted of getting to stay home. Like, use that to springboard really your husband's career and to be the best you can be in creating an atmosphere for your kids and for your husband where it's a true joy, a genuine pleasure to be there.
I love that concept of making the home warm, welcoming, you know, a place that everybody wants to be. I mean, we've talked, maybe different podcasts, that, you know, Think Deeper, where we talked about walk into some homes and you can just tell it's kind of cold, like sterile. Like,
oh yeah, you
like,
know.
Like you can tell, like it's not, the wife has not done a good job of making it feel like home. Maybe she works or maybe she just doesn't put the time in, versus the ones you walk in, you're like, this feels like a home.
Yeah.
The lighting, the smells, the food, like all these things. And
just a warmth to it. Yeah.
The fact that being her domain is something big. So tied into my number two, again, we're a lot more overlap here than the last episode. My number two lesson that I want to teach my daughter, chasing a corporate career is not your God-given purpose. Chasing a corporate career is not your God-given purpose. We've clearly shown our hands here and in other episodes that we don't believe it's within God's plan for women to work outside the home, especially when they have kids. And so again, very countercultural, very, hot button issue, even within the church. People don't like it when we say that and think that it is sexist and it's something, man, these guys are just misogynists. I don't read the New Testament. I don't read the Old Testament and see any evidence for women, any evidence that supports women working outside the home when they have kids. I just don't. And so even within the church, of course, society, but even within the church, we are pushing the idea that, hey, go chase your career. Go, you know, hey, be as,
yeah,
you know, climb up as high of the corporate ladder, go to college, like do all these things. And I want my daughter to know that's not really her God-given purpose, chasing that corporate career and being away from the home 10 hours a day. I mean, you read Titus 2, that is her, the domain of, you know, the domain of her home is her domain. Like taking care of the home is her domain, I should say, is a better way to phrase that. And so, yeah, it's tied into a lot of what Joe just said, but I want her to know that. And there, what's frustrating about this one is they are going to be faithful to God people who are going to look at my daughter, hopefully, prayerfully, when she chooses to be a stay-at-home mom and go, really? That's what you're going to do? What about college? What about this? What about that? Like, they're going to kind of degrade her for wanting to be a stay-at-home wife or being a stay-at-home mom. And again, that's just going to be have to be something that she pushes through. And that's very sad. I hate that, again, people in the church kind of have that worldly perspective on it, but they do. They, you know, again, they view chasing a corporate career as a great thing, and I want my daughter to know that's not her God-given purpose.
I love it. I love it. It does dovetail with my first one. It goes back to the last one being, you know, we look at it as a position of laziness because we don't understand the importance of the role of in creating a home and creating a warmth in being somebody who is busy and getting things done and really helping the home be what it could be. That is not lazy. That is actually a very difficult and a full-time job, especially after kids, but a full-time job when you're doing it appropriately and when you are trying to create something better than just a sterile environment. Yeah, I made it clean. I did my chores. No, you really are invested in something much greater than yourself. This goes to the last one. And you know,
is your number one?
This is my number one. And I had ended last session.
Episode.
I'm too much of a therapist here. Ended last episode with this thought. And so I am dovetailing on this one. Multi-generational faithfulness is largely dependent on you. As a woman, it is largely dependent on you. I want my daughter to know this because, Lord willing, this goes along with you will homeschool. That is as best I can do it. I will absolutely be vetting your future husband and making sure that he is somebody who not only is, well, I'll allow you to homeschool. No,
pro-homeschooling.
Pro-homeschooling. Yeah. He will be leading the charge on this. I'm not going to have anybody who is willing to send your kid to government schools. It's just not going to happen. And when that is the case, you will be home with your kids multiple hours, basically every hour of every day. You will have a huge bearing on whether this works or not, whether this ship sails or sinks. That is a huge responsibility that a lot of women don't take seriously because they just don't think about it. They go, well, you know, yeah, I try to keep them fed, watered and fed type of thing. And even in the homeschooling world, boy, I just hope they learn something. No, I want my kids and I want their kids to be world changers, meaning when you homeschool, you take it seriously. You strive for greatness, right? You're trying to help your kids have the greatest launching point possible. You also, in your homeschooling, you're going to be thinking about multi-generational faithfulness. You will be bringing in elements of, look, we got to be future-focused, future-oriented. We got to be thinking about, down the line, what do I want your kids to look like? She's going to be the one doing Bible with them probably every single day. Hopefully the father isn't as well. Hopefully we are, right, as the fathers, that we're doing family devos and such. But she's going to be the one that's teaching them these things. That's going to be instilling. This is why we talk to our boys, marry appropriately. Marry the right woman, because she will be an integral piece going forward in multi-generational faithfulness. I just want her to take that very, very seriously. That is a role that cannot be underestimated.
That's a much better number one than I have. That's really good, because we think about multi-generational faithfulness from the perspective of the guys so much, the dads, like we ended last episode with. There is so much heavily weighing on the
moms.
The mom's
there all day.
Yeah.
She's there all day.
The early developmental years that, you know, I know a lot of psychologists argue is the most, are the most vital, crucial years for a child's development. The mom's there
the
whole time.
They're the mom's here, yeah.
Yeah. That's really good. My number one top things I want to teach my daughter. I want to teach my daughter the ultimate value and worth that God sees in her.
That's a great one.
Well, and this is
why are you downing yourself?
You know, this is one that, you know, I could have put for the sons as well, but to our points earlier about the world really pushing a girl's value and worth being in her looks, her body, what guys think of her, even maybe in what she does as a person, you know, once she graduates high school. Again, a lot of girls are chasing worth in something, chasing value in something. I don't want my daughter to be chasing value and worth in anything because of what God sees in her. I want her to know that. I want her to know that she does not have to put on gobs of makeup to be appealing to guys because of the value and worth God sees in her. It could apply to that. Again, it could apply to, man, I feel really like being a stay-at-home mom is just, you know, that's not worth it to me. I want her to know the value and the worth God sees in her so that she's not worried about what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
So she's not worried what other people think of her value and of her worth, because all that matters is what God sees in her. And again, in a world where girls can struggle with that a lot, from what I've seen, from what I've observed, that is probably the number one lesson I want her to learn of, like, don't worry about your value and worth in the eyes of other people, because in the eyes of God, it's perfect. He sent Jesus to save you. You're worth it to him. Excuse me, you're valuable to him, and that's more important than any value or worth that anybody here on earth can assign to you. Again, could have applied to the guys as well, the sons, that last episode we did, but I think it specifically applies to daughters. And so that was my number one lesson. Any thoughts on that?
I love it. I think that's a perfect one to wrap on, actually, just because we do love our daughters. We love our kids an unbelievable amount, more than anything. And to end on that one, we find our ultimate worth and value in Christ. It's very important for them to know that they are very loved, they're very cherished, yes, by their parents. Make sure you're cherished by your husband, whoever you choose. But most importantly, you are cherished by God, who will continue to cherish you and love you and hold him in his hand.
I do have one lighthearted one, because we had a couple lighthearted ones for the son one, and I didn't want this one to just be all, you know, really serious one. This one, I would say I definitely want to teach my daughter, and more so my wife is going to have to teach my daughter, and that is, be a good cook. Really, really put effort into your cooking. Again, I would say not near as important as some of these other ones, but I know you're big on this, so maybe you would argue it is just as important. But yeah, on a lighthearted note, be a good cook. I mean, you just don't want to be the woman who, you know, going to a dinner party at somebody's house and people are bringing stuff, and, well, I can bring potato chips, or, you know, I can bring, you know, whatever. And so, like, just that's something that I think is inherent. Kind of like guys and, you know, what they do for a living is like kind of their pride and joy.
Yeah.
I think similarly, if you're a woman and you don't know how to cook, it's like, oh man, that's pretty rough. So that's my lighthearted one. I don't know if
there you
have
go.
One, but if you have thoughts on that one,
yeah. I one off the top of my head. Actually, I did not prep for that. Don't dye your hair.
Oh, good one.
Dye your hair. And the reason why I'd say that is because there's gonna be girls that dye their, you're not less than if you do. But a quick story. So we went to California. This was a year and a half ago. And my wife really needed a haircut. She thought, hey, well, we'll get one out here in Santa Monica. That'd be kind of nice. Swanky, whatever it is. And so she got an appointment, got her haircut. She's a natural blonde, has not ever dyed it. They were blown away. Like, they literally had people come over like, can I feel your hair? And so they came over like, we never see natural blondes here.
Just because
everybody's unnatural. She was one of the first natural blondes. They work in a hairstylist studio.
That's crazy.
And they had hardly ever seen natural blondes. There's a beauty to that. There's just something that's like all natural. You know, that's very cool. So
That's a good one.
Appreciate your beauty is, I guess, kind of what that goes to. But yeah, that's all I got.
And then we'll wrap right there. This has been episode. I hope you've enjoyed these last two episodes. Yeah. Again, kind of, I always like the list type of things, the top five. Just like with the Suns episode, we could have put a lot more on here. But
and again, send us your comments. Send us your comments. If you're a girl watching this, we do have some females that watch us. What are your thoughts? What are some things that you plan to teach your daughters, or some things that maybe you'd go back and forth with us on? I don't know if you disagree. If you agree, let us know.
Or some things you wish, maybe you're a grown woman, things you wish you'd learn.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's a great one. Yeah, do that one. So, yeah, this has been episode 62 of the Godly MN Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.